Hello, I'm Jonathan Mast, and welcome to this edition of the Sedgwick Podcast. Today, we're talking about something that's on everyone's mind in some way or the other, and that is, how is AI transforming case management? And I will introduce our experts today, both from Sedgwick: Leah Cooper, Global Chief Digital Officer, and Joe Copeland, Senior Vice President, Product Design and Strategy Management for Managed Care. And I will say right off the bat, I am not AI generated. I am live, and so are our guests. So welcome to both of you today.
Thank you.
There are probably people who wish I was AI generated some days, but we are here to talk about some pretty exciting developments, especially in the managed care arena. And kicking off with the first question to you both, give us some background on AI. I know it's on everybody's tongues, but a lot of people still may be very confused about what it is, why it was introduced, how is it being used in this particular space in regard to managed care. So, Lee, I'll start with you on the AI piece and let you both comment.
Jonathan, that's a good question, and I feel like we can't turn on the news these days without hearing a story about AI or artificial intelligence. It seems like it's every other broadcast or article that you read out there. And one way that I have thought about AI and really what it is, which is using machines to mimic human thought, human analysis, human behavior, is to break it apart into two different types of AI. And I heard this put this way by McKinsey a few weeks ago, and it really helped me categorize the types of artificial intelligence that are out there. The first that has been around for a while and something that Sedgwick has been using for over 10 years now is what I would call analytical AI. And that's where we use tremendous amounts of data as well as analytical and statistical methods to develop models that drive our insight and really tell us what's going to happen to a claim throughout its life cycle. And we call those predictive models. You know, and that's been in place by Sedgwick, again, for over 10 years, and that's the basis of most of our data science programs. And that's what we call analytical AI. The other form of AI that I think most people are hearing about and is probably scaring a few people is called generative AI. And this is something different, and the reason that I think it's getting so much traction in the press today is because it was back in November of 2022 that basically every kid in America heard about something they could put on their phone called ChatGPT. And over the course of 5 days, they signed up 1 million users, and it just exploded. Everyone found out about ChatGPT, and they wondered what it was. So ChatGPT is a form of generative AI. It is also known as a large language model. And really, this is a type of AI that uses unsupervised learning algorithms. And it creates new digital content. So that was a lot to say, that it has taught itself how to learn by absorbing all of the digital information that's out there, be it on the internet, be it in digital magazines or books, whatever it is, and then it turns around and, based on your prompts or your questions to it, creates new content. And that content might be text, it might be images, it might be audiovisual files, or it even might be code. And that makes a lot of people nervous. I think a lot of the fear around generative AI is, A, the unsupervised learning, that it can do it on its own, but B, that we actually don't know where Gen AI got its particular response to a question. And so that lack of transparency into where an answer originated is also a little bit of concern. And so those are some of the things that we have to think about, but that also shouldn't preclude us from using it, because what it can do is absolutely staggering. The kind of output that it has, particularly in the tech space, which is what Sedgwick has worked with, has been nothing short of amazing. And we'll get into how that has worked in just a minute when we talk about some of the use cases, and Joe gives us an overview of how managed care is leveraging that. Then at a 50,000-foot level is Gen AI. And all companies right now, I feel like, are trying to figure out whether or not there's a place for Gen AI in their operations.
You know, Leah, you raised so many great points in what you were sharing. I just want to underscore a couple of things. You know, one of the things that you shared was how Sedgwick has had use of AI for over a decade, and we've been using it in managed care for about that long as well in the clinical space. But now what we're talking about is how do we leverage all of these new technologies, all of the large language models and the generative AI, all of those things in managed care to make the way that we work more efficient and make the impact that we can deliver on a claim more meaningful. And so some of the use cases that we already have in place really leapfrogs us from where we were from a predictive modeling or analytical AI, as you called it, into how do we use the data and the model to get better and smarter and faster at finding those claims that could benefit from a clinical intervention. How do we help nurses leverage their higher level skill set while we let technology do some of the more mundane things like reviewing medical documents in a vacuum? And so we are constantly looking at how do we leverage all of this new technology that's available to us at Sedgwick and introduce it into our managed care space so that we can drive more value to our customers through efficiency in our process and better, faster decisions. And so that it's been an exciting time to be in the managed care space because this new technology that you describe and all the promise that you talk about are the things that we want to exploit in managed care, again, so we can be better partners for our customers and we can kind of help them see around the corner so that they're more prepared for the future. And we've had some conversations around how our customers feel about AI and the use of AI in managed care. And I was just wondering, you know, what is she hearing and reading when she's in the market talking about AI around fear and hesitation with these kinds of new capabilities?
Yeah, that's a good question, Joe. And honestly, I think you have to approach it from two different angles. First is regarding security and privacy. I think a lot of our clients, a lot of people out there are really concerned that if you leverage generative AI tools, you run the risk of exposing data or documents or whatever to the public domain, to these tools that are technically out there and free. And so companies who use these tools need to make sure that they take a really locked down and quote-unquote in-network security stance on this. And that means that the tools need to exist in a very secure ecosystem that ensures that your documents and data don't leave your environment. Anything processed by Gen AI, the content produced by Gen AI, all of that needs to remain inside your network and proprietary applications. That's just the number one thing. The other thing that you have to think about and worry about and structure your prompt engineering to overcome is a concept of bias. Because generative AI has been trained on information that's publicly available, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to have a bit of skepticism about content that's out there on the internet. And there's probably good reason for that. And if ChatGPT, not ChatGPT only, but Gen AI in general, has been learning from what's out there on the internet, you have to make sure that the way you structure your question does not open the door to any sort of interpretation of a word. And by that, I mean, you want to say, what are the facts of this data or this document? And not so much, hey, Gen AI, what do you think about X? So we have to be careful about how we structure our questions, which we call our prompt engineering, in such a way that you don't open that door to providing feedback that introduces a known bias that might be out there in the world. So So two big important things that we need to make sure we keep in mind whenever we're working with this kind of technology.
It's so interesting when you talk about fear. We had I had recently had some conversations with some customers around their feelings around using AI in the managed care space, because even though I said, you know, reviewing medical records is a mundane process, it's also critical to what the nurse needs to learn and understand to help the injured worker focus on recovery and the treatment plan and return to work, et cetera. And one of the things that I heard a lot from those customers around, but can you trust it? Can you trust what it's giving to you?
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, that obviously there's, you know, what's exciting about it, and we just talked about all the things that are exciting, the things that it can do to sort of help you be better at the things that you're, you know, humans are good at. But it does, there is a level of skittishness around how do you introduce it. And I said to someone, you know, progress is coming. You can either be the steamroller or the road. And so we would rather be the steamroller and chart the path. And that's why we've been really deliberate and intentional in designing how we're using these technologies in the managed care space. It's not wholesale, turn on some AI tool and let it run. It really is, how do we intelligently disrupt with these kinds of tools in the managed care space? And it's been really exciting to be part of the initiatives that we have here in Sedgwick that really design how we approach the use of these technologies and AI tools in managed care. So I understand the fear. I heard it firsthand from customers who said, but how do you trust it? But I also heard a ton of excitement around, you know, the art of the possible, the things that it could do. And it'll be iterative. You know, you'll take a step here, and then you'll take another step, and you'll take another step. And I, as anxious as people are about AI, I've also heard a lot of excitement about the fact that we're finding ways to leverage it in a way that's really thoughtful and intentional, so that those things that scare you, we identify them and we address them so that they don't, you know, wreak havoc in the things that you're trying to deliver. So I've heard fear and lack of trust too, but I've also heard excitement, which is exciting for me.
You know, that's a really, really good point, Joe. I think a lot of our clients really may not understand how we're approaching the use or the application of these technologies. And when you think about what's going on, you read some of the articles out there, I'm starting to realize that the AI capabilities that have been developed and which are out there or are coming soon, and I don't mean next year, I mean in the next few months, I feel like the capabilities right now are outpacing our knowledge and understanding of how best to use them. And our clients are probably feeling the same thing and looking to us to help them understand how we can best apply the tech to our processes. So along those lines, how would you say that you have been able to manage client expectations when they read all of these articles out there about what's going on with AI and what Sedgwick might be doing with it and so forth? You know, what is your what's your methodology there for making sure that clients feel in the loop but also don't overexpect what we're trying to do here?
Yeah, and, you know, when we first embarked on how we leverage AI in managed care, that was one of the first questions that we asked ourselves. What is going to be our methodical approach to adding these tools to our tool belt? But in addition to the client for us, we also have to foster adoption with nurses and clinicians who are also not accustomed to some of this technology that we're introducing into the process. And so change management internally has been super critical for us, because we want to make sure that colleagues who are going to be using these tools and understand not just what the output is or what they can expect from it, but why it also benefits them, why it helps them. You know, it becomes sort of, at the risk of overusing the word, it becomes a sidekick for them, so that they get to use their higher skill set to do the things in their jobs that they probably enjoy more anyway. And so change management, I think, internally has been critical and has proven really successful for us on the Sedgwick side. With customers, it's really around managing expectations. AI is not perfect. We walked in knowing it is not perfect, that there are things that we have to model and build and test and be super thoughtful about, and also recognizing that we're not looking to replace humans. This is a, at the risk of oversimplifying it, it's a tool that helps us drive more impact in the claims management process by allowing our folks and our colleagues to focus on that higher level thinking, the judgment calls, the decision making, and leveraging the AI as a tool to help us do that better and faster, I think is critical. And that's why managing customer expectations and having these discussions with customers around what they expect and how they feel about it has really been helpful in helping us in our design thinking about how we apply these technologies in the managed care space. Now, with all of that said,
I'm sorry, Jim, what was that?
I was just going to say, and for us, it's not, we're not done. I mean, just as AI is generative, we feel like there's going to be next generations and evolutions of what the technology looks like, and we're going to continue to be innovative on that front. We're going to continue to look at how do we introduce these changes into our workflow? How do we introduce these technologies into our processes, again, to help us make decisions better and make decisions faster, make decisions on more complete view of the injured employee, all of those things that we know intuitively and have proven statistically bring value. We're going to think about and look at how we use these tools to continue to position us better to do that for our client. And so that's our intention in managed care. What do you envision, you know, AI, a year ahead, 2 years ahead, where do you think we're going with this technology?
I think that's a hard question to answer because it's changing daily. But if you had to ask me right this second what's coming up, I think on a broader scale, there will be a lot of regulatory scrutiny around how companies, particularly in the fintech space, the insurtech space, are using these tools and making sure that data is not abused or stolen in any way. So you have to think about the regulatory compliance side of it. But from my own personal perspective, I believe that Gen AI is, like you said, Joe, a great tool, but it's only one tool in a much larger toolbox. And the companies who are going to figure out how to use it the most successfully are the companies who recognize that you can pair Gen AI with other digital tools, other intelligent tools, in a way that allows you to create a solution we haven't seen before. And I think the other kinds of tools that we will be pairing it with include things like decision engines or API hubs, or more importantly, predictive modeling. If we or any company can get to a point where you say, hey, I just learned X about this claim or about this piece of supporting documentation, then what can you do next? If you can invoke data science or a set of rules that help you know how to advance the claim or how to differently engage our examiners or our nurses so that they have, I don't want to call it warning flags, but they know how to get the right people involved up front. I think that is going to be hugely impactful. Like you said, Sedgwick is not in any way trying to get humans out of the equation, but we are trying to simplify what I would call the administrative overhead of claims management so that they can focus on the most important things. And if we can combine Gen AI tools with things like data science so that we can advance the claim automatically, or automagically, as I like to say.
I love that.
Then I think it's a fun word. Then we have an opportunity to use those resources really where they need to be deployed, not on the busy work, but on the taking care of people and paying attention to the details of the things that make them, that engage them in better decision-making. So I think that, I know Sedgwick is going to figure this out. in the next few months. I think that's probably going to be a trend with a lot of companies, not only in our space, but in multiple industries, because they are going to figure out how to string together the right tools to make the smart solutions. What do you think in terms of how we'll use these tools in the business space?
Yeah, I think you nutshelled it perfectly when you talked about how do you pull all of these things together to get the biggest bang for your buck. I think that's where, you know, we'll all definitely find individual pockets where a certain technology will bring a certain value. And to your point, those are individual tools. I think the differentiator will be how do you bring all of those things together to bear so that you, one, have a cohesive story around how you're using AI and technology, and you have a cohesive approach, a real strategic plan around how those things will now be deployed in the business, because making the tech available is absolutely critical. Having the sort of expertise and at some level the courage to introduce these new tools that are in some cases, you know, still new, even though AI's been around for a decade, these new generative AIs, I'm learning new terms from you every day, Leah, these new generative AI tools and the way that they work are working in some ways that are surprising. And I do think, again, because we're in the workers' compensation space on the managed care side a lot, which is super regulated, I think that regulatory piece is absolutely sort of the next unknown for us. Certainly the new tech is the new frontier, whatever that is going to look like in a few years, and then how the different states and governmental agencies regulate it is going to be really, really interesting. We're already seeing some of that happen. California's got some laws introduced around AI, so we're seeing the legislators trying to, you know, run fast behind the technology. The question is, how fast can they run to catch up? But I do think for us, we're going to have to pay close attention to how the regulators see the use of these tools in the business. But we've already approached it from a place of being really thoughtful in terms of how we apply it. And so that piece doesn't concern me. But I would say that's definitely something that as clients are looking at how AI is used, that they just need to be mindful that being thoughtful around the approach and being thoughtful around how you strategically deploy it is really going to be critical in its success. Otherwise, you know, the one time it doesn't work, someone's going to say, see, doesn't work, I told you. And so that thoughtful approach is really important.
I intentionally
asked a hard question, too.
It was a good question. I think it's something that everyone's going to struggle with, and I feel like the way that my team has been able to work with your team, this is just a little color commentary to wrap us up, if we don't have that collaboration between technology and operations, A, you'll never get the adoption you need, but B, our technologists will never be able to understand how to deliver the right products for your processes. So, yeah, personally, I just wanted to say thank you for the collaboration, because it's been an absolute model program working with you guys, because you have that desire to disrupt thoughtfully what we're doing today to drive that efficiency. And it's been a really positive experience. And I hope, you know, everyone who's listening has gotten to hear how important that collaboration really is to developing the right product.
Thanks, Leah. And we enjoy working with you, too. So it's a marriage made in heaven, as they say.
There we go. All right.
Well, there you have it. I did not disappoint at the top when we said two of the best in the business. Thank you both for some really great explanations. And, you know, the exciting thing is this is only the beginning. And so, you know, as we move forward, I hope and know we will have you both back for future discussions. Certainly, we ask our listeners to keep an eye out for the Sedgwick blog, to follow us on LinkedIn, Sedgwick.com, constantly releasing new information. And you'll find Leah and Joe in a lot of locations and sharing their knowledge. So thank you again for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
All right. Until next time, listeners, have a great week.